This week's mailbag comes to us from Abby via Facebook. I had an organizational win today. I hosted an essential oil party at my house this afternoon. I only had to spend an hour tidying things up, vacuuming, and wiping down the counters to get the house ready because everything was in its place or was easy to get put away. The last time I hosted a few weeks ago, I had to clean, declutter, and find home for things for 5 hours before my guests arrived. Only needing an hour reduced my stress and allowed me to enjoy the rest of my day. Thank you, Lisa. I've still got ways to go in the bedrooms and the laundry room, but our spaces people will see when they come over are much more presentable and are being reasonably maintained. Way to go, Abby. Do you have an organized 365 success story? We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Last week on the podcast, I shared with you how I had calm in the middle of two chaotic situations. And often I give you a lot of tips and tricks about how to be more organized, how to be more productive, and I use examples in my own life. This week and next week, I want to dive into two different philosophers, psychologists' versions of why we do what we do and how we can incorporate their findings into our getting organized journey. So today, we are going to talk about Abraham Maslow and his hierarchy of needs. And one of the things I hear often is I have identified there are four different phases of getting organized: the accumulation stage, survival, downsizing, and legacy, and childhood. And within childhood, there are additional stages. That's something that maybe you hadn't heard from someone before. And for many of you, you're like, oh, this makes total sense because I'm still in accumulation, even though I'm 45 and I should be in survival. Or I'm downsizing, but I also feel like I'm in survival because of XYZ. When we can give frameworks and names to how we are feeling and the phases of life we are in or the stages that we are in a progression, it helps us articulate to others where we are, but also lets us know that we're on a continuum. And if we keep going, we will keep getting further and further down the continuum, or give ourselves grace for where we are and realize that. That's what I want to do with Maslow's law today. I want to talk about these five, the original five steps he has in his pyramid, how they build on each other, and how you might identify where you are inside of that pyramid. Now, it's going to start with basic, you know, food, what you need, your physiological needs, food, water, sleep, like you need to survive. It moves on to safety, then family, love, and belonging, then into your self-esteem, and finally, self-actualization. And why I want to talk about this today is because so many of you are listening to the podcast, following along in the programs, and you're experiencing what I've been experiencing for a couple of years now. And it's so bizarre. It's so odd. We literally are living in houses that have empty shelves and closets, empty cabinets, empty drawers, more time than we've ever had, and we don't know what to do with it. And I think part of the reason why we don't know what to do with the time that we have is because we have been working so hard on the first three stages of this pyramid that no one hardly ever talks about the top two. So we're going to talk about those today, but we're going to start at the beginning. I'm going to explain what each level of the pyramid means, and you have to satisfy those needs inside of yourself in order to move higher on the pyramid. This may also help identify for you some things that are missing in the base of the pyramid that need to get filled in order for you to achieve this extra time, empty cabinet life that I'm talking about. Okay, so the first step inside of this pyramid is called your biological and physiological needs. Basically, if these needs are not met, you're probably going to die. I don't know. You need oxygen. Definitely need oxygen. You need water. You need food. And you need sleep. Like, just the basic things that you need to live. And you may think, oh, well, I have all those. Let's check. Move on. Wait a minute. You will hear me say often, take a nap. If you have children under the age of 5, what is my number one organizational recommendation every single time on every interview I'm on? Whenever you ask me anything, I say, first of all, take a nap, and then I give you something to implement. And I say that for a reason. One, I just don't think enough of us are sleeping when our kids are little. But I also know that when things are overwhelming to me, when I am exhausted and I keep trying to plow through and push harder, I'm able to take a 20-minute nap. So if I can go in and lay down just for 20 minutes, sometimes I feel like I don't even fall asleep, but I do. And my subconscious is able to keep working on the problem at hand while my body rests. Just 20 minutes sometimes is enough. After I've done like a long event, like the Embrace weekend or a paper organizing retreat weekend, or I've been traveling, I will often take like a 2-hour nap, which sometimes seems ridiculous. Or I'll go take my bath at 6 o'clock at night instead of 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And then I will lay in bed from 6:30 until 9 or 9:30 when I go to bed, because my body just needs to physically rest. If you are run down, overwhelmed, everything seems to be going wrong, you don't know what to do next, I'm just going to say take a nap. I know you're like, I don't have time to take a nap. You might not have time to take a nap. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason why everything looks better the next morning after you've gone to bed, even if you've gone to bed stressed. That sleep really resets your body. So take a nap. The second thing I would say in this very first basic pyramid, which I talked about in a recent podcast, I'm not sure which one, in my food journey, is that I have learned over the last 3 or 4 years that different foods make me tired or give me a headache or change my energy level. And I have been able to formulaically lay out that if I have a coffee and a Zone protein bar and then eggs and then I have a salad, like I have no mental brain fog. I have no reduction in my ability to comprehend, to do, to produce. And the way I eat my food and the order in which I eat my food for me will prolong my productivity and my decision-making power throughout the day. So while food is a necessity of life, the food that works best in your body and in what quantity and in what order is something that you can tweak and play around with. So maybe you're listening to this podcast and you are in a traffic jam on the way home from work. And when you get there, you already know you're late for dinner and the baby has to do this and your other kid has a fever or whatever. Like, you literally have no time other than listening to a podcast while you are changing the laundry, driving kids somewhere, or driving yourself to work or to a hospital to take care of a family member. You do not have 15 minutes to implement anything. I'm going to challenge you to just stop and think, okay, every day I get tired at 2 o'clock. What do I eat for lunch every day? Is there something I'm eating for lunch every day that's making me tired? Or every Wednesday, Monday, Greg was waking up like with a cold. And finally, I realized he was allergic to cutting the grass because he did that on Sunday. Like, is there a day during the week that you don't feel well or things don't seem to go as well? Or Thursday is always terrible. Like, why is Thursday always the day that the entire family implodes? And if Thursday is the day the entire family always implodes, that might be the night that you just order a pizza so you don't even have to think about dinner, so that you're more available to the family and you're not also trying to save $5 on making dinner or making everything from scratch. Where in your life, if your life is so jammed full that you're not getting enough sleep and you feel like your nutrition isn't where it needs to be, I'm not saying going vegan. I'm not saying counting your calories. I'm just saying, is there one change that you can make in your food intake that might give you more increased energy and increased stamina and decision-making power? I know for me, it was getting that Wendy's salad, which they discontinued, which I'm not happy about. And that worked for me for 6 months. Little teeny tiny changes, like how much sleep you're getting and what you're eating, can make a world of difference, especially when you are stuck in this physiological needs, that your physiological needs are not being met. All right, let's go to level number two. Level number two is safety. That's the security, law and order, stability, freedom from fear. Basically, you feel safe. And some of the things I've identified in my life that have helped me feel safe is, number one, you physically feel safe at home. No one is abusing you. It's not a verbally or a physically abusive situation. Your house, actually, not everything, it might be fixed, but like the roof's not leaking and there are no fire hazards. Like, your house is relatively put together. You feel safe inside of your house. The other thing that I find to be in this safety quadrant for me is that we have employment and we have healthcare. Like, if we don't have employment or we don't have healthcare, I'm not feeling very safe. I don't know about you. So having good employment, having healthcare is a prerequisite for me in this safety category. And then I would say the last thing in the safety category that really helps a lot of people and helped my family when I put it into action was having a predictable schedule. Knowing what was going to be for dinner, knowing who was going to be home when, knowing what we did Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday, like just having, it didn't have to be like written down. It didn't have to be rote. It didn't have to be the same every single week, but just knowing, what time do we go to church on Sunday? You know, are we allowed to eat what we're allowed to eat whatever we want on Saturday? Saturday is a free for all day. It has been for years. That was the day that you could have lunch and dinner out and you got to pick whatever fast food you wanted and we would just bring it home. That's the day we go grocery shopping. That predictability, that cadence, that rhythm to your life really makes everyone inside of your home feel very safe. These two basic levels are where I lived for ever until like most of my adult life. I was living in these first two levels with a little bit of the third level. And what I have noticed about this hierarchy is whenever you have an illness, you're under stress, there is a change, you have some kind of a setback in your life, you bop back down to the pyramid. It's kind of like chutes and ladders. And anytime anything like happens like that, you go all the way down the slide again, and now you're at the bottom. Okay, I'm at the bottom. So now we're back to basic physiological needs. Do I have enough sleep? Am I eating the right foods for my body? Do I feel warm? You know, do I have enough oxygen? Okay, that is met. Now I go to safety. Do we have proper employment? Do we have proper health care? Is our physical house at least going to protect us from the elements? It doesn't mean that it's perfectly decorated or everything in it is working, but the roof is working, you know, the house is standing, everything there is fine. And I have some kind of a schedule. I know who's going to be where, when, and when we're going to go to the grocery store and when dinners are going to be. Those basic needs are set. This is what I would call survival. These first two levels. If you're thinking, okay, I don't have all of those checked off, like my employment is just not sufficient for our family's needs, which is where we were for a long time. Or we have healthcare, but it's not covering what we need right now. Or our house is good, but no, our roof is leaking. And so, or it is drafty, or we need whatever, a new furnace. There's something major in our house that we need in order to survive, then you are in these first two levels. And until these first two levels are completely satisfied, it's really hard to move into the higher levels. Okay. Also, if you are feeling depressed or overwhelmed, you are probably in these first two levels. The third level, which is where I think a lot of people get to, and then they bounce back down into survival and they get back up to this third level. The third level is the one that I see the most marketed to on blogs or TV shows or any of those. And this would be the love and belonging stage, like that your love and belonging needs are met. This is friendship, intimacy, affection, and love. This is when you get on Facebook and you're interacting with your friends on Facebook or social media, and you're reading about them and you're sharing about you and you're actually communicating. You're not just scrolling through and reading it, but you are in a communicating relationship. You're in the Organized 365 Facebook group, you're answering questions and you're asking questions, like you're in community. You have friends, might be neighbors that you go outside and talk to. I go out once a month with my friends, girls' night out. There might be someone that you call on the phone once a week or once a month. You have time for those friendship relationships. If you are in a relationship with someone, whether you are married or not married, you have time to date that person or have a conversation after work for an hour about their day and your day and talk and dream about your future. Maybe go out on a date once a month or plan something fun to do. You might take a walk every once in a while, but you have time and space for those people. I find this is where a lot of organizing starts. You've just gotten out of survival. You're looking around this house. You're like, okay, everything, like we have heating, air, and a roof, but I would like this to be a little better than this. I would like this to really feel like a home. This love and belonging needs level is kind of like homemaking, like a warm and inviting home where you want your family and friends to come and you want to spend time with your family and friends. This is when you focus on customizing the rooms in your home to meet your needs. So this might be when you go ahead and you take the kids' bedrooms and you ask them what color they'd like to be painted, or you completely deep dive and spend a whole day with each of your kids in their rooms and you take everything out and you go through and you organize everything. You might repaint, you might add a new piece of furniture. This is also the time where you'll spend some extra time on the holidays and vacation and memory making. We've been very blessed. We go to Florida every single summer because that's where Greg's family is, Greg's dad's family is, and we go there for a week every single summer to be with his dad's family. The week is planned, everything is planned, all I have to do is show up. For many years, I just went and showed up while I was in survival stage, and I was there, and it was great, and we made memories. But now that I've been in the love and belonging stage and above, 1 year I went and I brought Chinese lanterns. So Chinese lanterns are big paper like balloons and you just light them on the bottom with some fire and they go up and they float out over the ocean. Really fun. So I did that 1 year. 1 year I brought board games and we played board games there. And it was because I was in this love and belonging stage. When I was in survival, just trying to meet my own physiological needs and safety didn't mean I didn't go on vacation. I did. I mean, I was very privileged. I did still go on vacation. But the vacation was an escape from my life. And honestly, I just wanted Greg's family to play with the kids so I could sleep. Like I spend most of the vacation sleeping and that's all I would do on vacation. I didn't really mentally and emotionally participate as I do now because I'm higher on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So it's not that we aren't doing these things in society, it's that we just don't have the mental and physical wherewithal to participate at the level we can because we are down in these lower levels. Other things that I've noticed now that I do in holiday memories is opposed to just showing up for Thanksgiving dinner or, you know, getting through the holidays, now I plan. I plan in advance, and I hope you're going to join us for the Holiday Blitz, where we are going to teach you just a few questions that you can ask your family and really find out what are the most memorable parts of the holiday for them and for you. There could be a lot of things that you're doing at the holidays that nobody really cares about anymore. And you've just done them for 20 years, so you're still doing them. But there may be some things that you just started 5 years ago and you're like, oh, that isn't a tradition, so I'm not going to do it this year. But that's actually your son's favorite part of the holiday and you didn't know it because you're not asking these questions. So asking a couple of key questions, finding out what people really love, and repeating those traditions that are meaningful to the people who are celebrating the holidays now versus getting through the holidays by checking off everything you think you're supposed to do because you've always done it in all the other years and that's how you do it. You have time. You have time to process, to think in advance, to thoughtfully curate and craft a memorable experience that while your family will always remember the holidays year after year, it could be a holiday that they'll never forget. You see the difference there? So that is the love, belongings, and needs level. And I would say a lot of people in the 100-day program move out of survival and fully into love and belonging, are really, really enjoying creating those memories, customizing their homes. And then after you do it for a while, and it only takes like 12 to 18 months, all of a sudden, the home's literally done. Like there's nothing left to do. There are only so many holidays, can't vacation all the time. And then you find yourself going, well, what is next? What is next? So let's talk about the top two levels in Maslow's hierarchy of needs that I feel like most of us never get to. So the next level, level number four, is called esteem needs. This is the desire to achieve greatness, to master a skill, to better ourselves, and to improve, to become more independent. Ironically, I find that in work, like when you go to a job, like obviously your physiological needs are met and it's a safe place to work. So those two are like checked off the box immediately. So then you move into love and belonging. Like, do you know your team? Do you feel safe there? Do they have fun things that you're doing? That gets checked off relatively quickly as well. And so you move into this esteem stage in work within like 90 days. But at home, sometimes we never achieve it. So I'm not talking about feeling fulfilled in your work or rising to excellence inside of your job. I'm talking about at home. And at home is totally different. And I find, especially for women like I have been, who choose to stay at home, we don't tend to achieve these top two levels because we're not in a corporate situation or we're not at a work away from home situation. So literally, like a kid getting the flu knocks us back down to the bottom of our pyramid, and we're constantly climbing the pyramid, falling down, climbing the pyramid, falling down. And if we can get to level four, we could stay at level four maybe 2 or 3 months. And then because of the cyclicalness of the American home, every 4 months, we get dropped down to the end of the pyramid because we have the holidays and then we have May and then we have August and back to school. And those 3 times during the year are so chaotic and so disorganized that you end up feeling at the beginning of September, the beginning of January, and the beginning of June like, okay, I've got to get everything organized again. I have to get back to square one, which starts with physiological needs. I'm exhausted from the holidays, right? I'm physically exhausted. My weight may not be great because of the holidays. So I need to redo my food. I need to get some sleep. That's the first couple weeks of January. We're back at level one. Then you move to level two, which is your physical house safe. That probably didn't change in those 4 months. Your employment and your healthcare probably didn't change in those 4 months, but your schedule usually does. How we spend our days, the foods we tend to eat, what we do on the weekends does tend to change 3 times a year. You know, you eat different foods in the fall than you do in the spring and you do in the summer. You wear different clothes. So a lot of things happen 3 times a year. It doesn't take a long time to reset your closet and reset your pantry, but it does take time. So now let's say we're maybe to the beginning of February and now we're at level three, which is love and belonging, and we're going through the house and we're customizing it, right? And then we have that for a couple months and then we're back down to crazy May. Okay, I'm exhausted beginning of June. I've got to reset everything for summer. Now it's July. See how this cycle goes? So as a homeowner, you go from one, two, and you get faster at going, okay, I only need to sleep like a day or two and reset my food. I could do that all in the first week of the next trimester. And if you get good at this, and this is why the planning day is so important. If you haven't tried planning day with a 100-day program, try it next time and see if it helps you. So planning day, the planner that I come out with the 100-day program, you get a new planner 3 times a year because we work on these 3 cycles. And what we do in planning day, which is a 2.5-hour live training with me where we're on a webinar and I could see the questions that you're answering and Emily's in there and we go back and forth, is we look at all of this and we knock it out in one day. Great, what are our foods going to be right now? What's our new schedule going to be right now? How do I have to prepare for moving from one trimester to the next trimester, which I call my 3 mini years? I think it's podcast 132, which explains these, but it goes through the school year, which is September to December, the new year, which is January to April, and summer, which is May through August. So you can see now how we're bouncing around, right? So I'm going to go back to level four, which is your esteem needs, and read it again. The desire to achieve greatness, to master a skill, to better ourselves and to improve, to become more independent. You can see how if you're in a corporate job or any job, how you're going to meet those needs. But what about at home? The desire to achieve greatness, to master a skill, to better ourselves, to improve, to become more independent. Basically, this is what I'm always saying. I want you to help you get your house organized so that you can do what you are uniquely created to do. This is what you are uniquely created to do. And I have been doing it for a while, But what I haven't been doing is doing it without guilt. I want you to be able to do this without guilt. When we get to this level where the physiological and the safety and the love and belonging needs of our family are met, that's as far as we've ever really seen modeled. That's as far as we see on TV. That's as far as you probably see with most of your family and friends. At least this is true for me. I don't usually see people who are working on their esteem and self-actualization needs. And so because I don't see it, when I am, my house is totally ready to go, my business is fine, I have this time, I can work on my personal esteem needs, I feel guilty. I feel so guilty. I feel like there's something else I should be doing. Should I be sleeping more? Maybe I should redo our diet. Is there something that my kids need? Maybe something around this house needs to be fixed. Could just be me. But when I truly have time for me to become a better me, I feel guilty about it. Totally. So if you're there, then maybe we're the same. The fifth level is called your self-actualization need. This is your highest potential, your self-fulfillment, your personal growth, your peak performance, recognizing and achieving your own personal highest potential. So I see esteem needs and self-actualization of like as like step one and step two. What would this look like in a real person's life? If we had examples of this around us, what would it look like? And here's what I think it would look like. This is when you make, if you love crafts, you make a customized craft room and you actually spend hours in that customized craft room each day, and that you're producing masterpieces, and then you start to take this craft that you love and you're doing on a regular basis and you get better and better and better at it. And then all of a sudden your utilizing of this craft or creating of this craft takes on a life of its own to a way people haven't seen it happen before. Or you could use this time to start a business like I have. Or maybe you want to use this time to homeschool. And so your desire to achieve greatness and master a skill is to become a teacher of your children. And that's a whole nother job, right? Or maybe you want to go back to work. And then you're going to work up the same hierarchy of needs inside of a position somewhere else. Or volunteer or start your own volunteer organization. I know Greg's aunt started a race, like a 5K race to raise money for a family member who had passed away in their name. All of these new projects, but not new projects like I'm going to organize my sock drawer, but bigger projects, projects that are really unique to you, that you have inside of you, the desire to do, the unique ability to do, that when you do it, it'd be different than if I did it, because it's supposed to come from you. So I hope that going over these Maslow's hierarchy of needs has opened up for you some holes inside of the base of your pyramid where you're like, oh, you're right. You know what? If I would just start taking a 20-minute nap or going to bed 20 minutes earlier or sleeping 20 minutes later, maybe my whole day would go better. Maybe I need to tweak my diet. Maybe we need to come up with like a weekly schedule that is in the house that people can predict, so people aren't always asking, which day do we go to the grocery? What are we going to have for dinner tonight? Like, I'm very systematic, so same kind of meals every night all week long totally works for me. Any question that I get repeatedly from my family, I create a rule for. And once we get through those and start working on organizing our house and getting our house the way we want, and many of us are in this love and belonging stage, go ahead, change the rooms in your house. The builder is not going to come back to your house and say, I meant for that to be a dining room. I'm sorry, that cannot be a painting studio. Never going to happen. Make it a painting studio. Make it a toy room. Make it a library. Do whatever you want with it. Like, create your esteem needs down into your love and belonging stage and really make your house your home. You're not selling it tomorrow. It doesn't matter if it's going to be bad for resale value. I've lived here 24 years. I'm probably never moving. And you know what? If we do sell the house, we're going to have to paint all the colors a different color anyway. So it doesn't matter. Make your house your home. Focus on dating your spouse or whoever you're dating, or find somebody to date. Focus on your family. Put extra memories into the holidays that you're going to do this year anyway. And then start working on what is it you were uniquely created to do? And how can we find some more time for you to pour into that? Because there is some unique gift you have inside of you that the world needs, and I cannot wait to see what it is.